You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Wendy Bidwell, the director of the Project to Restore America. Wendy, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be on the show today.
Wendy, I just came across a website called the ProjectToRestoreAmerica.com, and it's very interesting. Why don't you tell our listeners exactly what it is?
Well, first of all, I want to make sure if anybody goes onto the web that you put in a V first. So it's theprojecttorestoreamerica.com. There are a lot of other websites that are doing some very odd things that come up if you don't put the V in first.
Right.
So that's very important. What we're doing is we are trying to inform Americans about the real underlying problems of what we're experiencing in our day-to-day lives. We're also trying to do something about it. So it's real grassroots activism. And if you don't know much about grassroots activism, this isn't something where we're donating to a campaign so that they will do us favors in return.
Right.
This is our way of holding our elected officials accountable so that they do what A, they said they would do, and B, what the constituents want them to do.
Right.
So there's really no payback to us. We just see this as a way of better serving our customers. And our customers are concerned about the future, the economic cliff that we're about to go over, and all the challenges for children and grandchildren that seem insurmountable.
Before we talk about your customers, what's your background?
I started a pay the debt campaign in high school. So I'm 37 years old now, and that was 20 years ago, a little more maybe. And this was before anybody anywhere was talking about this. So we had a really good economics teacher, and my friend Megan Foley Burns and I started this group to try to raise awareness about what our generation would be dealing with in adulthood. And so we got t-shirts made that said, pay the debt. That's all they said. And then we sat outside the cafeteria and sold them. When we got the money together, Megan was going off to Georgetown and she went up for a visit and delivered the check to the Treasury. Now, I don't by any means think that it's our responsibility to have cookie sales, bake sales, and take checks to the Treasury, but we just saw this as a really good way of raising awareness. It took Megan, by the way, 2 hours. She walked around and asked person after person who she would take this check to, and nobody even knew where to send her. So I guess my point is we were concerned about this a long time before anybody was talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just really fortunate to have a really good economics teacher and to be interested in economics and to go on and have really great economics teachers in college. I went to University of Florida and I had one of Reagan's leading economists for one of my classes. Another one was another well-known economist who I think that they introduced us to the School of Austrian Economics, whether or not they said they did or not. I think they were really good economists. I ended up actually going into software. So I was a computer programmer first, and then I got more and more into writing. I got a master's in technical communication, and I eventually managed a team of Eastern European writers, and I was there part of the time and in the States part of the time. And through going over there during their transition into the EU, I just became super absorbed in what they were dealing with at the same time that we had a housing bubble that was about to pop. And without anybody talking about those issues, I felt like I was always face-to-face, head-on with them. And so then I just continued my career in software as a writer for software and eventually had my own business. And one of my clients ended up working with Porter Stansberry, and I got back in touch with Porter, who at that time had this End of America video that went viral. And 20 million Americans watched this video called The End of America. And now, again, Porter was really the first person. Now all you see on the cover of every publication, every Wall Street Journal, is the fiscal cliff. But Porter really was the first person to start talking about it.
How long ago?
A couple years ago. That was a couple years ago, yeah. And all last year, the End of America was a really big deal, and that was some of America's first dealing and having to think about where we are, that there would be riots in the street, that we could end up having bread lines, and that we really are on a verge of a real economic collapse. During that time, he was doing this End of America video, and all of these people kept asking him, well, Porter, what are you going to do about it? If you know so much about this, how can you avert it? How can you help us from going down this path? And so he said, I have no desire to run for public office, and this really isn't about politics anyway. If Americans continue to see this as politics, we're going to continue to not really deal with the real issues. So I'm going to start this group so that we can try to hold people accountable and do what we're doing now. And he asked me to run the group. So Porter Stansberry and I had been good friends in high school. We were also good friends in college. So we both went to University of Florida and we were from Central Florida. So that's my background.
prior to the interview, I did a little research on him, Frank Porter Stansberry.
Mm-hmm.
So he's basically a newsletter writer, a financial, mm-hmm. and very successful too. He's one of the top financial newsletter publishers in the United States.
Right, right. Very successful. He has a great internal compass, I'd say. He's able to smell out a problem way before anybody else. And I think that's why people really value what he has to say. I also think we're in, as far as Stansberry Research is concerned, I think the company is sort of transitioning from a newsletter company to a real financial research provider. It's moving in that direction. Prior to 2008, people like Porter and other people that do the same kind of work were really seen as the black sheep of the industry. But due to everything that's happened lately, I think contrarian investors are valued much more.
Yeah, I would think so. Stansberry Research is a completely independent entity.
Exactly. So we don't have to pay for advertising and we don't have to pay advertisers. So we're able to really write and present real information without being swayed or influenced by anyone. And I think that's a huge plus.
Right. So if somebody wants to hear what you're saying, they have to pay for it.
Absolutely. Yeah, but it's definitely well worth the price.
Mm-hmm. The project,
mm-hmm.
Restore America, when did that kick off?
Well, we were in the beta phase for about a year. So a year and a half ago, I started working on it, and we really just started making headway 6 months ago. So now we have about 55,000 members, and I think we'll probably have closer to 100,000 by the end of the year. We've picked some critical issues, like Audit the Fed right now is a big focus. There are other groups like Campaign for Liberty, who also is making a huge push for Audit the Fed. Rand Paul is trying to pick up with what Ron Paul did in the Congress and get the Senate to bring Audit the Fed to the floor for a vote. There's so much involved with this. Harry Reid needs to bring it to the floor for a vote. The senators need to all vote on it. They need to vote yes. We need more co-signers, more co-sponsors. The interesting thing about Audit the Fed is that 75% of all Americans are in favor of auditing the Fed. That's probably like 110%, because when you look at polling numbers, how many do you usually see? 46%, 45%. That's a high turnout. When you have 75% of Americans wanting something, that means Americans want this. So it's really interesting that Harry Reid is pushing this off and that we're having to fight a long fight to get it to the floor of the Senate. But that's the beautiful thing about this, is that we are flooding our senators with petitions. If you go out on the Blaze, you'll probably see one of our online petitions asking you to sign up and audit the Fed. And we are flooding them, and Campaign for Liberty is flooding them. And that's why I think it's so wonderful that several groups are pushing. I think FreedomWorks is working on this. We're not alone here. A lot of us are working on this. And that's a new thing and a new way for Americans to hold their elected officials accountable in this day and age. The other day, Stossel had a show, and Matt Welch, who's an editor, he may even be the main editor for Reason Magazine. I'm not sure what his position is there. But he was on, and he was talking about, the whole show was around, are third-party politics successful? Is this good for America? Does it do what it's supposed to do? And he brought up the point that right now, Americans are doing something with this two-party system and really influencing legislation and policy in interesting ways. And so he was talking about exactly this kind of thing, picking an issue, Audit the Fed, that's really crucial. And why is Audit the Fed important? Because we don't really want a Federal Reserve. So Audit the Fed is the first step in the right direction. But it's picking an issue that's crucial. And then it's like the drip to the forehead to every lawmaker who's not getting it, that this is what your constituents want. So we just continue and we continue and press on and hold them accountable. And after so long of doing this, we hope we make the point and we hope to see the right results.
I just want to play the perpetual downer, as I
mm-hmm.
usually do.
Mm-hmm.
They really don't listen. I mean, here it is, 75% of Americans want the Fed audited, which makes complete sense. I mean, news just broke recently that the TARP bailout, which handed over $800 billion to these failing banks and failing
mm-hmm.
financial companies, was actually incorrect. It wasn't $800 billion. It turned out to be in the trillions. It was like $16 billion. Nah, let's not audit the Fed. They're only off by a little bit. Let's audit Mr. and Mrs. Smith there in any town USA. So if they're not
sure.
listening now, and they're certainly not listening to the huge percentage of Americans who don't want to be in undeclared wars overseas, what makes you think that they're ever going to listen?
Well, I think they get overwhelmed when it's more than one issue, to be honest. I just have seen so many examples of it working on the state and local level when you pick one issue at a time. Like Campaign for Liberty is so good at doing that. And they have a way and approach and they do it and they're successful over and over. And Audit the Fed, yes, it's a national issue. But with so many of us working on it and it just being one issue, it's not like we don't like war and then you start getting into this murky, murky zone of very complicated policy. It's one thing. We just want the senators to vote on one bill.
Okay.
And I think if we make our huge push around one bill that's already been drafted, you know, it's already been passed in the House, and we don't stop putting on that pressure, then I do think we'll see a change. And there will be timing involved. Notice the Republican platform this year does include a return to the gold standard commission. Also, Mitt Romney said he would be looking for a replacement for Ben Bernanke. Obama is not in favor of auditing the Fed from everything I understand or have read, or at least he isn't a proponent of doing it. He's not looking for a replacement for Ben Bernanke. And Senator Reid is concerned about his career. So even though Senator Reid in the past has always been a proponent of audit the Fed, now that he's playing politics, he's all of a sudden not. I personally don't believe we'll see this come to the floor before the election, because whoa, would that be a big boost for the Republican platform and the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it could happen in the lame duck session when there would be as little visibility on it as possible. But I think it could happen before the end of the year still.
Okay.
But back to what you were asking, I think the whole objective has to be taking one issue at a time and then being relentless.
Right, focusing on that one issue.
Mm-hmm. Rand Paul also put out recently a bill for no aid money to Pakistan. It's like it has to be very simple, one bullet at a time that we pick up and fight with.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of focus. And you're talking, of course, really, and you're talking about H.R. 459, which passed in the House overwhelmingly.
Mm-hmm.
It was these, I can't remember what the numbers were, but they were huge.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah, there it was. It was 327 to 98.
Mm-hmm.
240 Republicans, 238 were in favor, with only one GOP member, that was Bob Turner, voting no. He wants the Fed. That makes sense.
Right.
Let's have the Fed. Reid has just basically ignored this, right? He's done nothing.
He's probably been told by somebody or knows that he has to ignore it until after the election. That would be my guess.
Pressure is being put on him through your organization, the Project to Restore America?
Various organizations. We have a two-pronged approach. We have an advocacy platform that's Votility, where our existing members, the 55,000, they go in and they make their voice known on different bills. So this is one of those that we're using. And that's really nice because we're utilizing technology and it's easy to then take the reports that we get and send them to each and every office.
Mm-hmm.
Every senator.
Right. You called it, it's not a real word, right? Votility?
Votility. V-O-T-I-L-I-T-Y. It's an advocacy platform that's excellent, and it's new to market. I don't think a whole lot of people are using that yet. And then
right.
The other thing that we do is go out externally to other websites like The Blaze, other places like that, and put banner ads out and that kind of thing. And then people can from there sign petitions, and we also get those to the office.
And how is it funded?
Through Stansberry Research.
So they're 100% funding mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're not going to be asking for donations or anything.
No, we don't ask for donations. We don't ask you to go to any rallies to do anything. We might occasionally ask you to vote on something through Votility. And then it's really meant to also try to inspire people and let them know that we do matter still. Even when our founding fathers were doing what they were doing and fighting the war against England, they were the minority. If you looked at percentages that were concerned and working at it back then to today, they'd be equal.
Right. And they were terrorists.
Right. It's just the way America's always been. I mean, one of my great aunts was a huge abolitionist, and she married this man. You know, he's one of the first founders of gold. He ended up being considered the father of California. And they were really proactive. But when I look through, like, our history records and I've learned about it, they were in such a small little group of people, like John Muir and Abe Lincoln and Susan B. Anthony. They all hung out together, and they made big changes. Not like there were tons of people.
Right. This is in your blood. Yeah, it's always a very small number of people who are like-minded. It seems like literally you can hold them in the palm of your hand. That's how few there are, I know. I know there's a lot of people out there who are, I'm one of them, completely and absolutely jaded and disgusted and just, really, I'm at the point where this is the first year that I'm considering not even voting, although
Right. Somebody
talked me out of that. They said, look, why don't you just vote for somebody from, like, Constitution Party, which makes sense because we would want the country to go back to the supreme law of the land. That would make sense, but I'm completely fed up. Like I said, I'm sure there's millions of, I know there's, because I talked to a lot of people. Millions of people are disgusted and fed up with the direction this country is going.
Mm-hmm.
So what can they do when they go to the website, theprojecttorestoreamerica.com? What's the first thing they need to do?
Well, if they put in their email address, then they'll start getting daily updates. And it's free of charge. The whole project is free. You will receive an occasional advertisement from Stansberry Research or one of our partners, but you never are asked to give money, and the whole thing is free. I'm hoping that soon we'll put out a new piece. We have certain contributing editors that cover different topics. These are people who are really well known for certain things. Like Larry Kotlikoff is an expert. He served with Reagan, a Reagan economist. He's a big expert on Social Security. So we find people like that, and we cover certain things. And so soon I hope to roll out a difference in the two platforms. And I think it's really important for us to know what are the differences in the platforms right now. Because more than the candidate that's running, that's going to be what they do. A lot of people that hold that person running accountable to accomplish the agenda that's in the platform. So I think we need to all be aware of what the platforms are and use that basically if we're going to the polls. And then at least we can say, well, this is what I stand for and stand more for this than the other thing. And then it is our role to keep things from getting too political and to hold people accountable. But if they sign up for the project, they'll get the daily emails. They'll get the good news like that about what are really these differences in the platforms without name calling or talking about stupid things. And then be able to have a well-made decision and to really feel very informed. So they'll get the good news. And then from there, you can decide if you want to get involved and vote on things and votility, that kind of thing. And we'll also bring other groups to your attention and show what they're doing. And if you want to get involved that way, you could do that.
Okay, so it's really easy. You're not asking for anything. All you want people to do is get involved and do kind of mock voting, right?
Yeah, that's it. And just follow it. Open your email every day and see what's going on. And I think you'll enjoy being a part of the group and find it enriches your life and gives you an outlet to do like exactly what we are supposed to do, like we were talking about with the founding fathers and their role in ours, and to be able to be the active community members.
Boy, do we need a couple of those founding fathers right about now.
That would be nice.
Oh, God. Listeners, you're disgusted. I know that. Everybody knows it. But don't give up hope. Right, Wendy?
Right.
Yeah. So if you really want to see the country turned around, you're going to have to do your part. You're going to have to go to this website, theprojecttorestoreamerica.com, set up your account, enter your first name, your last name, your email address, you create a password, you retype your password, you click the terms of use box and click continue, then enter your address, click continue, and then your demographic information and click submit. Mm-hmm. And then you can vote on the bills that they're currently tracking. This is really a very unique way to get involved with like-minded individuals and keep abreast with the current issues.
Definitely.
I can see that now. Anything else that you'd like to tell the listeners about?
No, I just appreciate you having me on. I'm glad to be able to talk with you.
Wendy Bidwell, the director of The Project to Restore America at theprojecttorestoreamerica.com. Wendy, I want to thank you so much for the time you spent explaining all this to the listeners. I'm going to join right after we get off the line here.
Great.
I should have done that before, but
no.
I want to hear what you had to say about it. Obviously, you want to see this country return to the state that its founding fathers set it up in, and I appreciate that. I'm sure a lot of the listeners appreciate that, if not all. And
you can do it. It's definitely doable, so we just need to keep at it.
Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you.